Good morning, fellow redeemed. Let us pray. O Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. If there's an award for the most irritating and obnoxious commercial, somebody should have given that already to McDonald's like yesterday. You know the commercial. Give me back that fillet of fish. Give me that fish. Give me back that fillet of fish. Give me that fish. It's annoying. It's played too often, at least if you watch hockey and baseball. It's so obnoxious because the tune is catchy enough that you know hours after you've already heard it, you're going to be irritating yourself and everybody else around you because you just start humming it randomly. And then there's the question, is it even truthful advertising? Is it really fish created by God on actual bread created from grain that God caused to grow and be harvested? You really want to eat that? Before us this morning is John chapter 6. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Most of us know the story. The crowd gathers. They're hungry. Jesus takes this young boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, and he feeds the whole crowd to the point everybody's full and there's leftovers. The crowd likes this, and so they think we're going to make Jesus king. Jesus, knowing all of this, of course, he leaves them. He crosses the Sea of Galilee to the other side. Eventually, the disciples try to do the same thing. They want to go find Jesus. They get stuck in a storm in their boat. This is when Peter tries to walk on water, remember? Jesus comes and helps them and gets them to the other side. Next morning, the crowd wakes up, can't find Jesus. So they're looking around, they realize he's crossed the sea, they hop in their boats, they go find him, they come to ask him a number of questions. And that brings us right up to the verses this morning. John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 26 and 27. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." A few years ago, Dr. Wade Johnston in the Wisconsin Synod at Wisconsin Lutheran College was preaching on John 6. It's a phenomenal sermon for so many reasons. And he chose to summarize the overall attitude of the crowd like this. "Do you have any more Big Macs, Jesus?" I think it was probably more along the lines of, "Give me that fish." And as humorous as that sounds, it's true. They wanted their bellies filled again. They wanted to have a king who could snap his fingers and all of a sudden, poof, an unending supply of food would appear. These people came to Jesus because they were interested in seeing what had happened here. Food demanded today, what was their want and demand going to be going forward, though, if they made him king? As is often the case with Jesus, he does not give them what they want, but rather then goes on and tells them what they actually need to hear. "You're here for the wrong reason. You miss the point of the signs. I can do so much more, and I am going to offer you so much more than this. Don't be so concerned with your bodily welfare. Be more concerned about your spiritual welfare." And then, in case you're not familiar with this section of Scripture, if you follow it to the end of the chapter, you see the results that Jesus has when he doesn't give them what they want. He goes from thousands of followers to 12. One of them is going to betray him. A fish. That is our request. That is our demand far too often. What a shallow, what an empty demand and request that is. How shallow and empty we act when that is the request and demand we make of our God. As we've heard this whole week in chapel, the triune God that you and I are worshiping right now is the light of the world. The one who has given the light of salvation to all who believe. The God that you and I get to worship is so powerful that he can take a rich man and cause his crops to grow to the point that he has to build larger barns and more barns just to contain those types of blessings. You and I, we have a God that controls all of nature. From everything like tornadoes we saw 21 years ago, down to the small, minute little chemicals that we get to use and manipulate so we can have useful blessings like Tupperware. Our God is the one who opened up the floodwaters of heaven and earth, flooded this place. And then when it receded, came and destroyed and changed all that one language of that people so that they would have to be forced, after they didn't listen to his gracious command, to move out onto all the continents. That is the God that we worship. And how many times do we come to him and say, give me that fish? Jesus, you'll interest me if you keep my belly full. Jesus, you'll interest me if when I graduate from Bethany, I get that dream job and I make lots of money. Jesus, you'll interest me if you take away grandma's cancer. Jesus, you interest me if you can get me home safely tonight, even though I'm drunk or high. Jesus, you'll interest me if you can cause that pregnancy test to read negative. Jesus, give me that fish. And so often we are like the crowd of John 6 and we just don't get it. We just do not get, or we forget everything that our Lord and Savior is and can do and has done for us time and time again. You know, a person can be as rich and successful as Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and you put anybody else in that group. And how many times do we see that instead they still have a haunting dissatisfaction? They have this unfulfilled longing inside their heart. They have this incompleteness in their life. Next time you're at the grocery store, look at the covers of the magazines and the tabloids and see who's on there. It's not the average Joes. They end up on the scroll. But instead, who is it? Instead, it is the rich and the famous, the people that we see and we think that they have every single type of fish you could ever want to be happy. And all we see that is that they are incomplete and unsatisfied. Oh, Lord in heaven of earth, please forgive us for every time that we have come and asked for shallow and unsatisfying fish from you. Just like this crowd, thinking that it's going to make us happy and fulfill us. What do we need? What should we be hungry for? Answer's obvious, right? It's Jesus to both those questions. It's Jesus because we need everything that he has done for us. We need Jesus because of everything that he is. Instead of looking to food which perishes, we are reminded that we are instead to hunger for truth. And thankfully, Jesus can help us with that because he is the truth. He is truth incarnate. He is the true God begotten of the Father. And he is true man, incarnate of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So he could take on our true human flesh and live a life that was always true to the Father's will and his law. Instead of hungering for and looking to the food that perishes, you and I, we are supposed to hunger for life. And again, Jesus helps us out with this because he is the author of all life, John says in the first chapter of his gospel here. Jesus himself in John's gospel says that he is the way, the truth, and the life for all who will believe in him. And the reason he is that is because he allowed himself, his flesh, to perish, if you will, on the cross when he willingly died for us. So that you and I could have eternal life and we would not have to perish in the fires of hell for all eternity. And then that life that is there that he won for us in the cross, he gives to us by the free gift of faith. What does he say this morning? He says, the Son of Man will give you eternal life because God the Father has set his seal on him. And see, you have this life when Jesus then turned around and he put his seal on you when he claimed you in the waters of that holy baptism, when you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so you have this life from Jesus. And therefore, we are not to labor for food that perishes, but rather for food which endures to everlasting life, because your Savior has prepared the feast of immortality for each of you, of his own body, of his own blood, a food that will not perish, a food that will bring you to everlasting life, a meal that will always satisfy your soul when it's tempted to go look and eat elsewhere. We are not to look for food that perishes, but rather we are to hunger for love. Jesus in the gospel, or excuse me, John in his epistle says, what God is love. We, having been purchased and won by a Lord and Savior, are to hunger for that one who purchased and won us, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. We hunger for the love that the Holy Spirit shows us and feeds our hearts, minds, and souls with in the Word, in the sacrament, because, again, those are the things that will not perish. They are the food which endures to everlasting life. See, friends, there is no person. There is no substance. There is no fish in your life that can satisfy that longing in your heart and soul. Here Jesus tells you that it is only he who can satisfy it, the one who purchased and won you and me. It is Christ alone who can satisfy every one of our immortal longings and our insatiable hungers of heart and soul. So may the Holy Spirit then cause you and I to now hunger for that Savior, to want to pray every single day, please give me that Jesus. Amen.